We've lots more still to come on this extended News at One. In her speech, the new president spoke of the privilege of office and she promised to ensure that all voices were heard and valued. She spoke of a home being a fundamental human right and of her belief that what she termed the dominant narrative did not reflect people's values and concerns. And she emphasised the importance of the Irish language. Tiargan Teanga, Tiargan Anam, Adairshi. Well, with me in our temporary studio just around the corner from Dublin Castle's main courtyard is Kevin Rafter. He's Professor of Political Communication at DCU and co-editor of the book The Irish Presidency. Also here is Lise Hand, who's a journalist and co-host of the Think You Know Your President's podcast, and our political correspondent Micheál Lehane is with us as well. Micheál, let's start with you. Bring us through that speech. What for you stood out?
Yeah, you outlined some of the key themes there. I suppose she also spoke about the conditions in which she is inheriting the office and at both a domestic and global level. And she talked about the threat of war and the problem of climate change and the need to create the conditions and to show leadership for a sustainable existence. And also saying that when it comes to war, it has never been acceptable to the Irish people that there is an inevitability about it. And again, highlighted the ongoing tradition here, unbroken tradition, as she put it, of neutrality. I think that's interesting. That's the second time now on the night of the count result and also at the inauguration ceremony, Catherine Connolly referencing neutrality. She has made it clear, and she did so during the campaign, she won't be able to do very much if triple lock legislation arrives at Áras an Uachtaráin. But when it comes to a message and when it comes to what she called providing alternative diplomatic solutions to world conflicts, she's going to push and make that a theme of her presidency.
Lise, what were your thoughts on what we've just been listening to?
I think it was a very interesting speech, and I think that she did, while it was warm and very effusive, there was a slight thread of politics in it.
She packed a lot in there.
She packed it. It was quite a speech of substance. I mean, I thought, you know, again, it is interesting that she talked about, quote, the long and cherished tradition of neutrality. I thought that was very interesting. She almost immediately brought up, you know, as you say, the fundamental right to a home. And when she spoke about war, the wars around the world, she said it was inextricably linked to climate change, which again, she referenced several times during the speech. So I think we can probably already see the outline of one of the main themes that's going to be of her presidency. And I think there was possibly a little message for the government who are all arrayed behind her, you know, when she said that those entrusted with public office need to come together to help sort of create and build a sustainable world. So that again might be a small early hint that she does actually going, she will actually be quite proactive in her presidency. And the government might be seeing more of her than maybe they expected to, which I think is interesting. I think there's a lot to pick over in that speech.
Yeah.
And I think surprisingly, a lot of people assume she would give the whole speech Os Gaeilge. And I think it was quite interesting, as she said, her whole presidency will be about inclusivity. And perhaps she felt that to get her message across, she should actually talk Os Béarla, and really just saved her plea for the Irish language towards the end when she switched to Gaeilge, which I think, again, is quite interesting. It was, you know, there's a lot to pick over in that speech.
Yeah, as you said, a lot to digest there. And we will have more time later on in the programme. But Kevin, your initial thoughts on what we've been listening to?
Yeah, I thought it was a very substantial speech. It was interesting that she name-checked the three former presidents who were in the hall with her, Mary Robinson, Mary McAleese and Michael D. Higgins.
And she's her going piece to about the challenges that they had faced, particular challenges when they were entering office.
Yeah, and she's going to, you know, she was very much positioning herself as an activist president right from the first moment. And, she, you know, she identified climate change very strongly. She mentioned neutrality and she called it out without any specifics. But she at the very end, when she talked about she would be a steady hand, I thought she was also sending a message there as, you know, she's not going to be a rogue president. She's not going to look for conflict, but there is going to be substance and there's going to be, she's not going to be up in the arse. The government is going to see her, the people are going to see her, but she's going to be a steady hand. I thought there was a message in that.
Listen, lots more still to come and we will be returning to you all. But for now, we're going to take a quick break. You're welcome back. If you're just joining us, the News at One is coming today on this special day from Dublin Castle. The headlines this Tuesday lunchtime: Catherine Connolly has been inaugurated as the 10th President of Ireland. The Garda Commissioner has said the force will not tolerate thuggery, such as what occurred during sustained and significant violence at City West last month. And the BBC's outgoing Director General has said he's proud of the broadcaster's journalism 2 days after he resigned following accusations of bias. The News in Full is read by Brian Jennings.
Catherine Connolly has been officially declared the country's 10th president in an inauguration ceremony at Dublin Castle. The inauguration was attended by members of the government, former presidents, the judiciary, the First Minister of Northern Ireland, as well as ambassadors and religious leaders. Our political correspondent, Micheál Lehane.
Within the opulent setting of St. Patrick's Hall, Catherine Connolly was solemnly declared president. In the place where all presidents since 1938 have been inaugurated, she became the third woman to hold the role. This was an event rich in pomp and precise choreography, encompassing formal processions, traditional music and prayer. In keeping with her pledge to place the Irish language in a prominent position during her presidency, Catherine Connolly took her oath of office, as Gaeilge. After the Chief Justice, Donal O'Donnell, handed her the seal of office, a 21-gun salute was fired from Collins Barracks. President Connolly's first official engagement today is a lunch at Áras an Uachtaráin. The gathering will be attended by government and opposition leaders, along with many invited guests. Micheál Lehane, RTÉ News, Dublin Castle.
Speaking at Dublin Castle in the past few minutes, President Connolly said she was humbled and proud to be the 10th President of Ireland.
The people have spoken and have given their President a powerful mandate to articulate their vision for a new republic. A republic worthy of its name, where everyone is valued and diversity is cherished, where sustainable solutions are urgently implemented, and where a home is a fundamental human right.
The Garda Commissioner has said on Garda Síochána will not tolerate thuggery, such as occurred during sustained and significant violence at City West last month. Justin Kelly will tell the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Justice, Home Affairs and Migration this afternoon that Gardaí are determined to keep people and communities safe from those who seek to undermine society. Our crime correspondent, Paul Reynolds.
The Garda Commissioner has been invited to appear before the Oireachtas Committee this afternoon to discuss recruitment and retention, the operational policing model, community and roads policing, and the recent attacks on Gardaí at City West. Justin Kelly will tell the members that Gardaí will not tolerate such thuggery and are determined to keep people safe from those who want to undermine this peaceful and democratic society. 37 people have so far been arrested as part of the investigation into the riots at City West 3 weeks ago. 28 have been charged with criminal offences and are before the courts. Commissioner Kelly also says he believes the government target of 5,000 new Gardaí in 5 years is achievable. There are 200 more Gardaí in the force than this time last year, and that the resignation level of 1% is well below that of other police forces and the private sector. He also says the high visibility policing campaign in Dublin has reduced crime in the city centre and is being expanded. Cork City, he says, will be next. Paul Reynolds, RTÉ News, Dublin.
The BBC's outgoing Director General has said he is proud of the broadcaster's journalism 2 days after his resignation over the editing of a speech by US President Donald Trump. Mr. Trump has threatened a $1 billion lawsuit against the broadcaster. Our correspondent Fiona Mitchell.
In an address to staff earlier, the BBC's outgoing Director General said that the broadcaster had made some mistakes that had cost it, but that it must fight for its journalism, insisting that the organisation, rather than its enemies, should control its narrative. Tim Davey told staff he was really proud of the BBC's work on both a local and global scale, and that what the organisation did on a daily basis was utterly precious. His comments come after both he and the organisation's head of news, Deborah Turness, resigned at the weekend over a growing row about the editing of a speech by the US President Donald Trump on the day of the Capitol Hill riots. The US president is now threatening a $1 billion lawsuit against the broadcaster.
And now the weather.
RTE Radio 1 weather with Grant. From HVO biofuel compatible condensing boilers to heat pumps and underfloor heating. Trust Grant to heat your home. Visit grant.ie.
Cloudy and wet with widespread rain, which will be heavy at times and leading to localised flooding. A clearance to sunny spells and scattered showers in the southwest during the afternoon. These conditions will gradually extend northeastwards. Highest temperatures 11 to 14 degrees. Now back to Rachel, Dublin Castle.
Brian, thank you. And we'll be continuing our coverage of the inauguration of Catherine Connolly after this short break. Hello again from Dublin Castle, where we've been following the inauguration of Catherine Connolly as Ireland's new president. She's just walked across the courtyard here at Dublin Castle, an umbrella over her head. It's that sort of day. We've just had a flypast too from the Air Corps. Now, if you're just joining us, here are some of the significant moments.
Queen Ushla, Fimar is old Dave, Ta Catherine Connolly, Tuffa, Gokui, Kun Ifig Uchtran Nahirn. Tanamaha Puibli, Luete in Alt Ahocht, Dartigal Adoyag, Dan Vanrocht and Shaw, Elohir. Agus Irminish, Eran Briev Brehev, An Tokteran Tuffa, A Chorfin Daravu, Ata Ordehe.
Catherine Connolly, Catu the Rest, Dolly Gurum, Diffiga, Marak, Ukteron, the Heron and Ish, Er Auralica, Alta Hot, Article Adoya, Gunvonrock, the Vecolinta, Gokui, Agat, Agustavrishin, Chilacum, Sheila, Unukteron, Ditch, Gofurum Yule. Catherine Connolly, you have now entered upon your office as President of Ireland. Having duly complied with the provisions of Section 8 of Article 12 of the Constitution, and therefore I formally present the presidential seal to you.
I stand before you humbly and proudly as the 10th president of this beautiful country. The people have spoken and have given their president a powerful mandate to articulate their vision for a new republic, a republic worthy of its name, where everyone is valued and diversity is cherished, where sustainable solutions are urgently implemented, and where a home is a fundamental human right. The change that led to this joyful day began with a small group of elected representatives and volunteers facing what appeared to be insurmountable challenges. We were led to believe that it was too great a leap, that our ideas were too far out, too left, at odds with the prevailing narrative. In shared conversations all over the country, however, it became evident that the dominant narrative did not reflect or represent people's values and concerns. Time and time again, people spoke of how it served to silence, to other, to label, to exclude, and to stifle critical thinking. Along with that, however, along with meaningful engagement, we saw the emergence of hope. We saw the emergence of joy, along with the courage and determination of people to use their voices to shape a country that we can be proud of.
Some excerpts there from the inauguration ceremony. We can go now to RTE radio reporter Barry Lenehan. Barry, you're not quite on the red carpet, but you're almost there. What's happening where you are?
Yes, here in the upper courtyard of Dublin Castle, the inspection of the Guard of Honour from the new president, the new head of the Defence Forces, Catherine Connolly. She has walked along two rows of members of the Army, the Air Corps and the Naval Service, accompanied by the Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Russell Mulcahy, and the General Commander of the 2 Brigade, Brigadier General Stephen Ryan. She is walking slowly back on the red carpet now, back towards the staircase upon which she exited a few moments ago, where the Taoiseach, the Tánaiste, and her husband, Brian McHenry, are currently standing. Now, earlier on, we had an Air Corps flypast, as you mentioned, led by Captain James Northover, as well as Lieutenant Ken Godden, Captain Sean Curran, and Captain Daniel McKeown. And the band has stopped playing in the background. Now, Catherine Connolly has inspected both rows, over 250 members of the Defence Forces involved in the ceremony today. She walked past the flag officers, Lieutenant Shane O'Donovan for the Naval Service, Lieutenant James Deneen for the Air Corps, and Lieutenant Harry Mansfield for the Army flag. So this is really a symbolic moment here. Now she's been escorted back to the saluting position where she came from, and the officer in charge of the Guard of Honour, he is now walking across the courtyard in front of me. This is Captain Patrick Wilson, and he is requesting permission now to dismiss the Guard of Honour from in front of the new Uachtaráin, Catherine Connolly. So everything here has been very much practiced to a T. I think you might be able to hear it in the background, Rachel. Standing to attention and moving away to their right, and the Guard of Honour now being dismissed after being inspected by the new president, Catherine Connolly, here in a wet upper courtyard at Dublin Castle.
Barry, thank you. Well, the new president is due shortly to make her journey to her new home, Oras an Uachtaráin. We can cross to the Phoenix Park, from where we're joined by Sandra Hurley of our political staff. Sandra, what are the plans for the president's arrival?
Yes, Rachel. Well, it's pretty wet now here at Oras an Uachtaráin as the staff await the arrival of Ireland's 10th president. Catherine Connolly is expected here sometime between 1:30 and at the latest 1:45. She will make her way over from Dublin Castle in a ceremonial motorcade flanked by motorcyclists of the Defence Forces. Now, she will be greeted at the door of Oras an Uachtaráin by the Secretary General to the President, Orla O'Hanrahan, who has been at Dublin Castle for the inauguration. But she is racing back here right now ahead of the president. Of course, Catherine Connolly has been at Oras an Uachtaráin before, and even as recently as last week when she returned as president-elect to meet Michael D. Higgins and his wife, Sabina. But today is utterly different, as she is now the 10th president of Ireland, and this will be her official residence, and it has been the seat of the presidency since 1938. Now, I'm told that she will not initially reside at the Oras, because for a very brief initial period there is going to be some essential maintenance taking place at the residential quarters here. That will take 1 week or 2 weeks at most, and during that period the president will have the use of the Steward's Lodge at Farmley if she wishes, and that of course is where she stayed last night. But in the next hour she will take part in her first official engagement, and that is hosting a lunch for 90 people at 2:00. Now, the invited guests at that will include her family, also government leaders, the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste, as well as most of the cabinet. But also joining her, all of those opposition leaders who rode in behind her winning presidential campaign. Others at the lunch will include the ex officio members of the Council of State. So you have the former Taoiseach, the Chief Justice and former Chief Justices, and also the Presidents of the High Court and the Court of Appeal. Also gathering there will be representatives of Northern Irish politics. The First Minister, Michelle O'Neill. We know, of course, that the Deputy First Minister will not be here, but representing unionists, we will have Steve Aiken of the Ulster Unionist Party, also Owen Tennyson of the Alliance Party, and Claire Hannah of the SDLP. Now, in terms of other duties, there are no documents for her to sign on her first day, but there may be an ambassadorial appointment either later today or tomorrow. But tomorrow, she has three engagements on her first full day as president. She is going to visit a Gaelic Skull in Inchicore in Dublin. She's also going to go to the Trim Resource Centre in County Meath and then on to Galway to go to the Merlin Park Nursing Home.
Thank you very much, Sandra. Sandra Hurley there at Áras an Uachtaráin. There is a beautiful moment just taking place here in the courtyard as we speak, the courtyard of Dublin Castle, where the president is speaking to some school pupils from Francis Street in Dublin. And we've also been having a word with those very pupils, and we'll bring that to you later on in the programme. But for now, I'm joined here in our Dublin Castle studio by Kevin Rafter, Lise Hand and Micheál Lahan. Kevin, going back to you on the speech, we know that a number of issues came to the fore during the campaign: neutrality, Irish unity, international relations. What do you think we learnt from that speech about the likely theme or themes of Catherine Connolly's presidency?
Well, it was interesting that she didn't use the sentence or the phrase, "the theme of my presidency is going to be." You know, we've seen that. Mary McAleese said it was building bridges. Michael D. Higgins talked about a presidency of transformation. So, but she identified issues, climate change, migration. Northern Ireland got quite a big section, and she quoted Article 3 of the Constitution in its entirety. So she was setting out areas, and I suppose today is about the tone of the presidency as well. And you talked about the school kids. The first citizens that she's shaking hands with or meeting are those kids that we can see on the screen now at the moment in Dublin Castle. And there was a moment at the very start of the speech which was quite relaxed, when she stood to speak and she said to everybody, "We can breathe a little and relax." And I get a sense maybe it's going to be a little bit, this is a president who is going to be maybe less formal, but she has big issues that are part of her political makeup. The opening of the speech also was quite political. You know, when she talked about the movement that had put her into the Áras.
And that people said it couldn't be done, and that there wasn't really a place for her sort of politics, and that those people were proved to be wrong.
Yeah, and that, you know, she went back into the campaign and she said the dominant narrative doesn't represent the people. So she was putting issues on the table, but no specifics. She's identified areas. So I suppose this will be a presidency that may evolve over the next number of months. We know the areas that are deep in the cherished by the president and that she has championed for many, many years. But she's now going to have them out of Leinster House and into the Áras. And it's going to be interesting to see how that evolved. But today wasn't, she didn't put a brand or a marker on it saying this is the presidency is going to be about. But she picked on big ticket items: climate, migration, Northern Ireland and neutrality.
What's your thoughts on all of that, Micheál? I mean, will she have to now think twice before she speaks or offers an opinion? Because up until this point, she's had huge freedom.
Yes, I think so. But I mean, the issues that she has addressed and she's focused on inevitably do carry with them the potential at certain points for controversy if she presents them with a certain degree of forcefulness. Maybe she won't do that. What was clear, though, as you were referencing there, is that sense of the movement, something she also spoke about on the day of the count result, and how she sees herself as being a force and symbolic of a change for a movement that is coming and that does have a different set of values. I think although she is above and elevated far above the political humdrum of Leinster House now, those who supported her campaign will take solace from that, and it will keep the fire lit for them, even if a general election is a long way off.
I suppose, Lise, it is worth remembering too that while there was a lot of focus on politics, obviously, during the campaign, the day-to-day life of the president is often focused on other things. It's focused, say, on congratulating people who have done good things, be they Olympic athletes or the Tidy Towns Committee or whoever.
Well, that's exactly it. And it does show that she is off to a busy start, as we heard earlier on. She does have three engagements already in the diary for tomorrow. And those engagements would seem to reflect her interests. You know, the fact that she is, her first call will be a Gaelic Skull. Her second one will be, a family resource centre. And then her third will be a community nursing facility.
And so, she is heading west too.
And she is also making her way west. So I think it was probably put together with great thought for, you know, underpinning what her kind of themes are going to be. Kevin rightly pointed out that she didn't actually baldly state that these were her themes, but they were quite clear. And I think, as Kevin said, it was also quite interesting. Her use of language was very interesting, because when she talked about, went back into the campaign, she, you know, talked about, you know, how it serves. And the language she sort of said that, you know, she was getting, you know, to silence, to label, to exclude, to others, you know, excluding, you know, to try and preclude critical thinking. You could read quite a lot into that. You could almost sort of say that, you know, I am going to bring in people who really weren't listened to before, like a little bit I was poo-pooed during the campaign, and we're going to introduce the notion of critical thinking. And so I suspect
interesting times ahead and all of that.
Fairly dynamic times ahead, yes.
All right, thank you all for now. We will be returning to our studio. We'll also be going to Galway, but first of all, we're going to take a short break. You're welcome back to the News at One. Well, today's proceedings are being watched with interest across the country, but especially in Galway, Catherine Connolly's home city. I've been speaking to Tom Nally. He's a Galway barber who grew up beside the new president and her family in Shantala, and to her friend Jackie O'Dowd. And they've been explaining what today's inauguration means to them.
Well, I think it's given people great hope for the future. People are particularly, I think, young people are really inspired by her, by, you know, her whole thing of calling out the genocide in Gaza. I think that for a lot of young people, that was a part of a lot of the reason that they would have voted for her. I think people would see her as somebody who is very, very honest, very straight, who has the courage of their convictions, who's willing to stand by what she believes in. And I think this has been a great inspiration, in particular to young people. Apart from, of course, the keepy uppies, is that what you call them?
You the know, famous keepy uppies, yeah.
People, you know, young people are very inspired by Catherine for she's such a fit, active person, calling it out on social issues as well. You know, I think people are very, very hopeful. People see Catherine as a leading, as a light for the future. And it's just been fantastic. And I mean, her track record from when she was, her time as last Can Corla, she was very, very fair and very even-handed in that role. Her time as mayor of Galway, her time as a councillor here in Galway, she's always had the courage of her convictions. And I think people in Galway will be very, very proud that the first citizen of this country will be a beacon of light for us going forward in these not so bright times.
Tom, let's bring you in. You, I gather, are a Shantala man, and you've known Catherine Connolly, indeed all the Connollys, for many years.
Yeah, this is it. I'm a proud Shantala man. And first of all, I want to congratulate Catherine on her election. We're extremely proud of her. And I want to wish the Connolly and McInerney family all the best going forward during the next 7 years. I grew up within 50 yards of the Connollys, and I've had around with a number of our brothers and played football together, etc. And yeah, we have only happy memories of growing up in Shantala.
You've written a book, I gather, about the area, a book she was due to launch for you. Are you hopeful that she'll still be able to do it?
Well, we have a book coming out. It's about the people of Shantala and the whole area. It's a book about the people, for the people, of the people. And Catherine has agreed to launch it if time permits and other commitments allow. We'll be launching that on the weekend of the 12th, 13th or the 14th of December, if time allows for the president to be present. And she's given me great support for the book in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm. I get the sense that her background and her family background have been very important in shaping her and shaping her politics.
Yeah, well, that would be probably true, like in more ways than one. But sure, I mean, say in Shantala, we all had the one background growing up, and everybody was pretty equal. It was struggles at times, and you know, we emerged from that. Like, and things improved as time went on, and we never thought in our wildest dreams would have a president from Shantala.
And that was Tom Nally, and before that, Jackie O'Dowd. Let's cross live to Galway next, and our Western correspondent, Pat McGrath. Pat, where are you and what's happening there?
I'm just outside a Busker Brown's bar and restaurant in the centre of Galway, where a group of around 80 people, Rachel, braved torrential rain in the city this morning to watch the proceedings in Dublin Castle being shown on a big screen. Many of them had been involved in campaigning for Catherine Connolly over recent months in the Galway East and Galway West constituencies, among them Sheila Garrity. She's been working with Catherine Connolly on local and general election campaigns going back over 20 years. And she was just telling me how it was a day for celebration, a real tangible feeling of joy and happiness among all those who had gathered. And a lot of them spoke about how they were drawn in to get involved in the campaign in the first place because of Catherine Connolly's commitments to human rights and social justice. Mention too of her commitment to the Irish language. That's front and centre for a lot of people, particularly young first-time voters. But most of all, I suppose, just people gathering, celebrating and marking the day and watching as their lady took the oath of office. But also, interestingly, a kind of a sidebar and something Micheál touched on there a couple of minutes ago, that campaigners are planning to discuss what happens next now and how they might build in the presidential campaign. A kind of a sense that the momentum that was generated due to the combination of political parties and unaligned individuals, can something be done with that? At this stage, they're keen to emphasise they're just tyre kicking, they're making no firm commitments, but they want to see, could is there scope maybe to enhance or build on the momentum? That's obviously in the rear view mirror from Catherine Connolly's perspective as head of state, but it will be interesting to see how it might play out come the Galway West by-election within the next couple of months.
Pat in Galway City Centre, thank you for that. We'll be back here in Dublin Castle after this break. I think you'll forgive us for all of the ad breaks being a little out of sync this afternoon. You're joining us from an extended News at One, coming to you from Dublin Castle. We're just around the corner from the castle's main courtyard. Lise Hand is still here as our Kevin Rafter and Micheál Lahan. Lise, let's pick up on something we noticed when we were watching the coverage earlier, when we were watching the ceremony. Obviously, we were talking today about Michael D. Higgins handing over to Catherine Connolly, but of course, there were two previous presidents there as well.
There certainly was, and it was actually lovely to see. Both Mary Robinson and Mary McAleese were there, and it was a reminder, I suppose, at the youth of those two women when they first took office. They were both 46, so which at that stage was incredibly young, because every previous president had been, you know, septuagenarians in their 60s, late 50s. And they're still there. And they're, I mean, not only are they still there, they are still active in the world. They're still, you know, fighting the good fight for climate justice, social justice, and so on. And it was lovely to see. And I mentioned this, I mentioned the colour of Catherine Connolly, President Connolly's suit, because she was wearing this very vibrant purple suit. And I wonder, was that also part an homage to the Mary Robinson, the Louise Kennedy suit, which is now actually in the Museum of Ireland. And that was 35 years ago. And at the time, it was seen as significant because purple was the colour that had been worn by suffragettes back in the 1900s when they were looking for the vote for women. So there was a lovely continuity, you know, of colour there as well. And Mary McAleese was also wearing purple. Now, some of the clergy were wearing purple, but that was purely involuntary, I suspect. But, you know, it was just something really nice to see those three, right. You know, it's two amazing women behind our third female president.
All right, a final word from you, Kevin.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting in the end of the speech, the way she almost defined the presidency when she said the president should be a unifying presence, a steady hand, but a catalyst for change. And I think in many ways she was acknowledging the limitations of this non-political office. But the importance is now where she goes, who she brings to the arras, that she will spotlight and be able to put attention on those priority issues like climate, like migration. It will be interesting to see now how she makes that real. And, you know, because she can't run a branch of Leinster House, the opposition in the arras. It's a very different role. And I think in the speech she was indicating she knows how she's going to do the job.
Micheál?
Yeah, I think What is interesting is that this really, the ceremony brings a fairly formal full stop to the campaign, the election, the count, and now you have the 10 president, but the impact really is still very much a live thing, and particularly for the Fianna Fáil leader and Taoiseach, and I think there will be more of that in the week ahead and even beyond that.
Thank you all very much for now. We are going to hear from those school children who were talking a few moments ago to the president. We're going to hear from those in just a moment, but first of all, another break. And the new president and her husband have just arrived at Áras an Uachtaráin. Back here, though, at Dublin Castle, as we've been saying, among the guests were the third and fourth class children of nearby Francis Street School in the heart of the Liberties. Adele McAllister caught up with them as they went in.
My name is Luna and I'm from Francis Street School. It feels great to see the new president that's happening. I feel so, like, grateful for what we have in our school and what's going on.
My name is Zach McGuinness and I'm from Francis Street School, and yeah, it's very exciting and fun for everyone here.
Hello, and my name is Ellis and it's great to be here with my school.
And what do you think might happen inside?
Catherine Connolly will turn into the president and drive to the house.
Hello, all right, my name's AJ Stack. I come to Francis Street School, obviously, and I'm so grateful to be here. I'm speechless. I'm so happy that I'm here.
And tell us, AJ, you've got something here.
Yeah, I have a football because I support Liverpool, and I saw the Connolly video when she was playing football and she was doing volleys and basketball. So I asked my teacher, can I bring a football? And she asked Connor, and Connor said, yeah. So I bring a football with me today, and I'm going to ask her how many volleys can she do. It's going to be super.
My name is Connor Doyle, and I am the principal of Francis Street School. We're a school based in the Liberties in a very historic area of Dublin, and we are extremely grateful and honoured to be here today for what is going to be a momentous occasion. We're very fortunate at our school that back in 2018, Michael D. Higgins also visited our school and he officially opened our library, and that was an incredible day in our school's history.
Sport on RTE Radio 1.
And with the afternoon sport, here's Siobhan Madigan.
Rachel, thank you. The Republic of Ireland's under-17s are playing their final World Cup group stage game this afternoon. Colin O'Brien's side kicked off against Paraguay just over 10 minutes ago. The Irish already assured of progress at the tournament, and a win today would see them secure top spot in the group. The game, though, remains goalless. Four changes to the Irish team today. Josh Cullen, Gavin McAteer, Victor Osiavuna and Finn Sherlock all having started in green in Doha. At the end of the opening day of the first cricketing test between Ireland and Bangladesh, Ireland, having batted first, started strongly. They lost their way somewhat late on, finishing the day on 270 for 8 as Mehdi Hassan Miraz took three late Irish wickets. Paul Sterling and debutant Cade Carmichael, though, produced a 96-run second wicket stand for the visitors in Silly Het. Belfast Mark Allen plays China's Zhao Jingtong at the Tournament of Champions in Snooker in Leicester this afternoon, and today's racing card at Fairy House was cancelled this morning owing to heavy overnight rain. The good news, though, is the fixture has been rescheduled for Friday, November the 21st.
Siobhan, thank you. And that's the news this Tuesday lunchtime. Our broadcast coordinator was Shane Galvin. Mark Dwyer was on sound. Damien Gavigan and Tom Norton were on sound at Dublin Castle. At Dublin Castle, the editor was Adele McAllister. In studio, the editor of the News at One was Brendan Fitzpatrick. Now, only his second day and we've taken a couple of minutes off Kieran Cuddihy. Apologies, Kieran. I promise you it won't happen too often. Do stay tuned for Liveline. But from all of us on the News at One, thanks for listening and have a good afternoon.